But what they needed support was, how do you connect these robots to, let's say, an Android app or an iPhone app? And how do you relay all the data back to the cloud? What if the robot breaks down? And what if we need to send a technician? How would the technician go on about finding what actually went wrong in these robots? How do they start their troubleshooting? So those were some of the areas that this company needed guidance on, and I had the fortune to go and work with them, learn from them.
You are now listening to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Here are your hosts, Hayden Chase Kuzma and Benjamin King.
Hey, welcome everybody to this episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Super excited to jump right in into this topic. It's going to be a pretty action-packed episode. We're discussing robotics. Before I do get ahead of myself, Hayden, want to jump on and intro yourself?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to be back. Ben, great to see you again. Excited for the episode today. As Ben mentioned, we're going to be talking about robotics a bit. This is something that I think has come up top of mind for us in the recent, I would say, week or a couple weeks, I'd say. I feel like this is something a lot of customers are looking into following re:Invent and just kind of getting their priorities in line for the next 12 months in 2025. So kind of a really neat episode to have. And we have a very special guest today, so I'm looking forward to that. Ben, before we get started, you know I got to ask you, what are you drinking today?
Yes, that's always the fun question. Today, however, though, it's pretty boring. I just got water. Trying to, keep up with the New Year's resolutions, hydrate, nice. And probably go on a run after work today.
Nice.
How about yourself, Hayden?
Ben, I actually tried something new today. So I typically, as you know, and as you do as well, I typically have the Ghost Energy. I've moved over to Celsius in 2025. New year, new me. I'm trying out Celsius. I had the orange flavor this morning. It's good. It's a little more lighter, more refreshing. I know it's zero sugar, but less of that kind of metallic taste to it, I guess.
Yeah.
I would say. But did a Celsius today. So that's what I'm running on. But
right, nice. May have to give it a try.
It's great. I could kind of lay out what to expect today. So on the conversation, Ben and I obviously are going to kick things off. To everybody joining, if this is your first time listening to a forecast episode, Ben and I typically invite guests to talk about a topic that they are passionate about and knowledge experts in. So that's what we're doing today. These are generally shorter episodes, small doses of our regular content, which is around 40 minutes. This one will be in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 if everything runs to plan, but we may go a bit over. But Ben, to kick things off, let's talk a little bit about robotics. Now, I know you and I will get to it, and we did a fulfillment tour with Amazon last year together. But before anything, you know, let's just start with defining robotics for you. You know, what does that mean to you when it comes to mind? What's popping up for you? And then I'll answer the same.
Yeah, no, I think it's always interesting, right? How do we define robotics? And first, when I first got interested into this topic, you know, I would think science fiction, think Star Wars and Star Trek, right? And, but I think there, a beautiful similarity of robotics is a lot of machines coming together, intertwining and doing a lot of complex, action items, if you will. And just seeing all that come together is really cool. Like, once again, how you mentioned the fulfillment tour center, seeing all the different ways that the robotics machines work together to help, you know, fulfill the goal of prime deliveries within a day or two, right? And it was so intricate. There are so many moving pieces, and it was just a really cool way to understand how all that interacts together. And a lot of the experts were walking us through exactly what the robots were doing, and it was just really cool just to see all that come together. So,
yeah.
But curious, Hayden, to just kind of get your thoughts here. Like,
no, I'll
robotics. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just gonna say I'll piggyback with what you were saying. I think when we were on that fulfillment tour, what stood out to me was just how much thought went to the design and how many of these communication pieces are playing off of each other. And obviously, as we were there on behalf of AWS, the guide that was taking us around did a really good job of explaining the services that were playing together. Now, one of those services, Ben, that I'm sure we saw was probably RoboMaker. Now, to speak about RoboMaker, it's being reimagined a bit here at AWS. So I know Tamil will talk about it a little bit in his guest segment, but just keep that in mind as we're using a couple services to kind of step in place of RoboMaker and work alongside to kind of reimagine what it once was. But outside of that, Ben, when I think about robotics, I think IoT comes to mind for me quite often. I feel like this is something a lot of my customers were passionate about, and just figuring out that communication piece. You know, I always like to bring up the example of having these autonomous forklifts or kind of keeping up to date on inventory management or maintenance, I should say, with your equipment. You know, IoT is a critical piece in that regard and a critical piece for the robot aspect as well. So that's a really neat area that I've always been kind of passionate about and intrigued by. But outside of the robotics arm, Ben, there's a little bit to be said about the data that goes hand in hand with robots, right? Because that's a pretty large piece.
Yeah, there's quite a bit with the data and the way it all intertwines, right? Going back to the IoT core piece, it's interesting to see, you know, how like IoT core is kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, that central hub, right? You got different devices with IoT Greengrass all connected. There's a lot robotics folks could do as well with like Sitewise or TwinMaker. We'll get into more details there. But the data is important, right? We're using Kinesis data streams in a lot of these use cases to really streamline this data. You know, there's a lot of sensor data and metrics, right? Depending on the goals you have for the different devices. You know, so in the fulfillment center use case, if you will, I know there were so many different metrics of, hey, where the robots need to go in order to put the right products in the right place for delivery. So it's just interesting to see, like, in real time, we're ingesting all this data and all the IoT points are talking to each other in a way where it's so seamless, even though it's very complex.
For sure. For sure. And Ben, I think that's a really good example, too, is, and we I feel like hone on this a lot in our podcast, but this is a great example. If something like this intrigues you and your team, and you think there's a possibility to innovate with AWS, reach out to the team. We can help you with a proof of concept to see what that solution will look like and bring on our A team to help customize that and build it out. So if there's any intrigue, you know, have a discovery call with your account team, have this conversation, connect with our specialty org, and just kind of let your mind run free in that regard. Ben, I'm going to shoot off a couple other services here for us as well that work really well with robotics. I know S3 for the robot logs and sensor data. We have QuickSight that will kind of allow you to visualize that analytic piece. And then lastly, a huge one this year is SageMaker, right? Training these models for behavior aspects. So think of these other ways to reimagine your approach to robotics. Don't just think so. I think I was in the past, you know, talking about me 4 years ago, I thought robotics and AWS, I only thought about RoboMaker. You know, boy, was I wrong. You know, there's so much more that comes into that. So that's a huge piece there, Ben. Any last thoughts that you may have before we jump into our guest segment, Ben?
Yeah, I think one more important piece is, hey, the monitoring perspective, you know. So when it comes to the other AWS services that intertwined, you know, this kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, potential dashboards with QuickSight, but also Amazon CloudWatch, right? You can keep track of just the robot's fleet, health performance and such. So it's just very interesting. I always love complex use cases and looking at the architecture diagram of all the different AWS services that are working behind the scenes to really, you know, make the art of the possible and what we're imagining to come to life. So, you know, really excited to segue into the guest segment. Hayden, do you want to just give us a bit of background who we're introducing today?
For sure. So the gentleman on the call today, Tamil Jayakumar, I had the pleasure of working with him a couple times and interacting, getting his expertise with some of my customers in regards to this exact conversation. So I thought no better person to bring on and hear kind of his thoughts on the topic today. Tamil, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Hayden. Thank you, Ben, for inviting me here.
Of course. Tamil, we always like to ask our guests and you as well, what are you drinking today, right now, or this morning?
Water, my friend. That's the
awesome.
Best drink on the planet.
Perfect. You and Ben are in the same headspace today. Before we jumped on today, Tamil and Tamil, we were speaking a little bit about his background actually with podcasts. You know, some of our guests joined and this is their first time in a space like this. Tamil, you actually have some experience in the space. So you're a seasoned vet, is that right?
Yeah, it's been almost 15, 16 years into robotics and IoT.
Wow, awesome. And you talked a little bit about that podcast you used to have. I'm just would love our listeners to hear about that too. It was really neat.
It's like a regional podcast I do in my local language, Tamil. In my southern side from India, I'm from South India. We are very passionate on learning new things. The kids especially are extremely passionate with robotics and computer science. But most of them do not have the privilege to attend school or have the gear to go learn or have a steady internet connectivity. So I partner with a lot of non-profit organizations and NGOs to help these underprivileged and economically backward sectors to go and focus on making small computers, single board computers, free electricity and free internet connectivity for them to go and catch on to the latest technology trends.
That's incredible. And, always love to see folks like yourself thinking about the future and really investing the time and resources so, you know, kids can continue learning and developing. So kudos and really, excited to connect with folks like you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And the podcast was mainly in the local language so that the kids will understand. It was titled The Language of the Computers. And we use language as a mechanism or a medium to clearly differentiate between how a human brain thinks and how a computer brain would think. And then we started getting the students really interested in making things happen in the world using electronics and robotics. And that's how I got into the whole robotics field itself. And the podcast was received very well in India, in South India.
See, and that was one of the first questions we did want to ask is just to get a more understanding of your background of, hey, what was that spark that first got you interested in the topic of robotics?
All right, let me think about it. So I think it was around sixth or seventh grade. I wanted a bicycle so badly. And my dad always deferred to it because of safety issues. And I don't know how to ride a bike properly. So finally, when I got my hands on a bicycle, I totally loved it. It was the most simplest creations, but yet extremely effective. It was able to carry me long distances without wasting too much energy. The next thing I instantly associated is how can I put a motor or something so that I don't have to put all that effort in and convert this into some kind of an electrical bicycle. That was the thought I had back in the 90s, like early 90s. And then my dad said, dude, that's already there. That's what is a motorbike is all about. We use, fossil fuels. We use gasoline and we drive IC engines and the engines basically go and move the wheel for you. And then I was talking to my dad on the same trip and I told him like, how come, why are we even driving? There should be like something which will automatically go from point A to point B if I just tell it to go. He said like, huh, that's a really nice idea. And we started looking into this and then I accidentally stumbled into the world of electronics. And then I saw these small rovers and small RC control toys doing that. Then I told my dad, like, why don't we create a remote control for this bike of ours so that we are sitting there in the bike and just we are using the remote control to go wherever we want. Wouldn't that be a funny world? And that's how the whole thing started. And then I became a robotics engineer at the end.
Wow. Skipped a few steps between the bike and becoming a wonderful engineer. But no, it's awesome. And it's funny, if any listeners here are familiar with Amazon and our leadership principles, one of them is think big. And Tamil, you were demonstrating that wonderfully as the minute you got the bicycle and started to innovate and think in your mind of what the art of the possible is. Kind of leading off that thought process of the art of the possible. I know this is something that I'm always intrigued with folks like yourself who are passionate about a space. What are you noticing in the space today that maybe customers should kind of put on the top of their priorities list for 2025? Because this is trending upwards and you probably want to jump on something in this space sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just had the privilege to attend reInvent. Just came back from New York after attending the National Retail Federation that happened there. Robotics is definitely taking a huge, huge step up in 2025. Let me explain why I say that. Back in the days when I used to say robots, people instantly used to think of Terminators because that's what we knew as robots. And then the perception of robots started to shift in general public. We started having smaller robots in our home. The vacuum cleaners that clean our home is a proper robot. And then we started seeing some more type of robots in the form of drones. And people were familiar with how to activate or operate these drones. In fact, the cars that we drive today, the electric cars, are actually robots. They are on the road and they are just the form factor changes, but it does what a robot typically does. So the perception of robotics is definitely shifting in the public. I'm able to clearly see that. Now, these are the top trends I see after visiting all these events and talking to a lot of customers in them, is generative AI is definitely going to have a massive impact in robotics. It could be in the form of putting all these generative AI models to use at the edge. So taking the LLMs, or the large language models and foundational models that are custom trained or distilled for robotics purposes, you'll see more of that happening in the edge. That is going to drastically improve the human-machine interface element. So you don't need to learn or figure out a way to talk to these robots or activate them. It could be like as simple as making you just say the outcome and the robot figures it out, right? That's the trend that we are trying to see here. The second thing that I keep saying to my students and also to the community is 2025 is the year of AI agents. So whenever you hear the word agents, you should get excited, because generative AI is no longer you give an input and you get an output. It's becoming much more than that. Generative AI can now take actions on your behalf. A system can talk to another system. It can talk to another human. It can talk to a society of devices and robots or other humans, and it participates very well in the whole technological landscape. And if you take it and put it into robotics, you'll find amazing use cases. So let's say, for example, you want to turn a light bulb on. You just say it, or you just click a button and the light bulb goes on or off, right? Well, that software is that agent there. Now imagine if this robot can actually go and talk to other systems through APIs, or it can go and make a call and actually literally pick up the phone and make a call. Or think of other ways how it can talk to other devices or other systems, right? That's agents happening. Now, when you fuse this LLMs at the edge and agents at the edge together, you now get into a very unexplored realm of what that could be. I think that's what this year will bring out more.
That's very insightful. And, it's always interesting. Somebody that is the subject matter expert, just, you know, hearing what the top trends are and where the, robotics field is going is just so interesting. I'm curious, in the lens of like customer obsession, we always want to hear a bit more about like how customers are, using these services today. Curious if you have like a use case or customer story you could walk us through, regarding like customer leveraging robotics in the cloud.
Yeah, totally. The recent one I worked on was a company that makes cleaning robots, and these robots go and clean swimming pools. Isn't that interesting? And these amphibious robots, they can actually survive both on land and in water. And they can go underwater and they can clean your entire swimming pool. And what is so fascinating about these robots are some of them are cord-based and some of them are cordless. And if you once you go inside water, your Wi-Fi goes dark. You have no, your regular typical vision systems goes dark. So this is a very specific niche use case where we had underwater robotic drones that goes and cleans the surface of the swimming pool. Now, this company had the cleaning technology figured out. They're experts, clearly. They know exactly like how to do vertically scale the wall while the robot is floating in water. Sounds miraculous, but like Arthur C. Clarke put it, right? Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. It is magic when you see these robots actually work. But what they needed support was, how do you connect these robots to, let's say, an Android app or an iPhone app? And how do you relay all the data back to the cloud? What if the robot breaks down? And what if we need to send a technician? How would the technician go on about finding what actually went wrong in these robots? How do they start their troubleshooting? Those were some of the areas that this company needed guidance on. And I had the fortune to go and work with them, learn from them. And that was a great customer success story.
That's incredible. And I love the piece too. It's just not thinking as surface level as just the robot carrying out this task, but you're also thinking about, and you have to, and this goes with any project, not just robotics, but in the event something does go wrong, let's be prepared and let's get this information as quick as we can and understand the why as fast as we can. So that's a great story. I'm sure you have many more, but I know I want to be respectful of our listeners' time, but also of your time. And we're so grateful to have you today and speaking to us. So we have one last question we want to ask you, Tamil. And this kind of goes to our customers listening today. And that is in regards to the insight and advice you may have to customers who are thinking about inquiring or starting a new robotics project in the cloud. What are some tips and tricks you may have for them in getting started and learning more today?
Oh, it's a brilliant question. Back in the days, whenever you need to learn electronics or robotics, you need to buy a bunch of gear. You always start with hardware. And from those hardware, you start learning software. And then you combine those two things together, you get an embedded system. And once you have an embedded system, you connect it to the internet. And once you connect it to the internet, you have a smart system. And then you build on from there. Now the whole world has gone upside down. Everything is simulation. So you don't need to invest anything to run robotics. It could be as well as a simulation system. But what you might want to start learning is the basics and fundamentals of cloud computing. How does distributed computing really work? How can one computer talk to another computer and take instructions and pass instructions back? That's very key in this whole area of robotics. The second system or the second area would mainly be around sensors and actuators. The sensor field is going through a rapid innovation as well. They're going through a lot of shape-shifting, the way the robots, the motors are being designed, the sensors are being designed, they're becoming very sophisticated. Back in the days, it just used to be a camera, a VGA camera. Now everything is a LiDAR-based system. LiDARs have become so common. Even radars are becoming very common nowadays. And the actuator mechanism is also going through a lot of innovations, especially with BLDC motors. The last part, I would say, is the human-machine interface element. That's going to be your deciding factor on how successful you will be as a robotics engineer. Designing the robot is one thing, and making the robot usable by public, by masses, is a totally another thing. So this is where you would probably learn how to do local control. How would you create a remote-based system or a remote-controlled robot? And then finally go into integrating it with the cloud. The cloud integration, that's where AWS can totally support you. There are a lot of learning materials, courseworks, and certifications to do. And from once you got up to all this, there's absolutely no stopping.
That is very insightful and, you know, just a lot to think about and unpack. And that's the whole purpose of these forecast episodes. We really want to bring experts on, share that expertise, and give folks a lot to think about. Tom, well, thank you so much once again for being our guest on today's segment. For the folks listening, want to thank you all for tuning in. You know, once again, we always leave off. Whenever there's questions regarding anything AWS related, feel free to connect with your AWS account teams or AWS partners like Avahi. We are happy to connect, help in any way that we can help you be successful in the cloud. We want to do that. So thank you all once again, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for having me here, guys. I really enjoyed the session today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. See you next time.